Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
You're all set?
I am ready to go.
Ready to go. It's the middle of the week. Are you getting real relaxed because we're getting near the end of the week? But the news must continue to go on. We're going to search and search. I don't know. We're always looking for these positive things, so I'll have to review what we've talked about because I saw some negative things.
Yeah.
But there's always something positive out there. Just getting people upset and making a healthy complaint is worth something to call attention to what's being done to us, not for us. So, but we want to start off with Jonathan Turley, somebody we've known for a good many years.
Good friend.
He came to our office lots of times and presented things for my libertarian luncheon.
Yeah.
And but he's more in the public view today, and he because he's telling the truth, we do see that he's being more favorably accepted by Republicans. But does that mean that Republicans are absolutely on the side of truth all the time? I don't think so. But he's objective, and when he does, and he lets the chips fall where they may. So I think he's a good academician. But he's attacking or he's addressing a subject today, which is something we've talked about. And it's not an easy one. Is how do you regulate or permit regulations of quasi pseudo private entities that really aren't private entities? And how can you regulate them if they're nothing more than a propaganda arm of the government? And what I'm talking about, and what Jonathan talked about in his article, was the recent ruling on Trump.
Yeah.
They say, well, you know, we reviewed it, and yeah, there's some problems. So, because there's still some problems, we'll review it again someday.
Yeah, you know.
I think Turley, in a way, was poking a little bit of fun at that. You know, but well, if you have a ruling, why don't you just make it clear in this tease? Okay, yeah, we didn't get it unanimous, but we'll come back. But I think the big issue is how you regulate something like Facebook and what they can do. And in a free market, you wouldn't have to worry about regulation. The market would do it, and the laws against slander and defaming people would regulate it. You wouldn't have the politicians doing it. But it's out there, and it is a big problem. It's for the beginning of the political activity of Trump 6 years ago, he got tremendous benefit because he was a good source of information, and everybody wanted to talk to him, liberals and conservatives.
Yeah.
But now, he's been penalized tremendously. The fact that, you know, here he is, he's used to something, it's a pseudo-public, it's sort of like the telephone company and the telegraph lines that are put in there, and nobody would think for a minute that the people who run our telephone systems or running electrical companies, oh, we don't like Trump.
Yeah.
So we're going to cut this off. It just happens that the Democrats love it as long as they're,
benefiting from it,
goring Trump, and they benefit from it. So this is what he addresses. It's an interesting subject, and one point that he made that I thought was very important, and that has to do with immunity. In a free market, you would be using the courts. What are the limits of what they can say and do? And once they start slandering people, then you have justification. But now it's quasi. I think this, in many ways, epitomizes the problems that are basic to when you try to combine corporations and government, and then we have this crony capitalism, and some people suggest that we should use the word fascism more often because they are doing social networks. Companies are actually doing the work of the government. I mean, just think of all the collection of data and information and how they can literally cancel people. You can't cancel people without the support of all these social media.
Yeah.
They get together and they can close down a whole lot. But anyway, it's a fascinating article, and Turley is always worth looking at because he's very objective.
And what the whole thing is about is a January 7th Facebook indefinite ban of Donald Trump. And that's in the aftermath of that great insurrection that we saw on the 6th, where democracy itself was under fire and the worst attack since the Civil War, as President Biden would say. So they banned him the next day. And so what happened now is that the Facebook Oversight Board, which is a quasi-independent body overseeing the actions of Facebook, they reviewed the permanent ban and they said, of course, they're not going to rule against Facebook. They said Facebook was right to ban him. However, they may want to look at it again because there was no, quote, objective standard to support a permanent ban. So they didn't have an objective standard. And that's a real problem because, as Turley points out, the things that Donald Trump is accused of saying in his speech that they say encourage the so-called insurrectionists was, in fact, and Turley didn't say this, but it's true, in fact, was milder than the things that Maxine Waters explicitly said when she flew to Minnesota and told people, get up there and get rowdy and get more radical and don't let them rule the wrong way, on the Chauvin trial. So there is no objective standard. They hate Trump, so they banned him. And when Maxine Waters does the same thing, she didn't face any repercussions whatsoever. You know, it gets a little personal here because on Twitter, the same thing happened to me, a couple of years ago. The thing that I said, I made fun of the intelligence level of one of the newscasters without cursing or using any violence, and I was permanently banned. And there are people that say, let's kill Rand Paul, almost every day. And there's no problem with that because of the bias. So there's no objective standards is what Facebook Oversight Board ruled. And that is a real problem, and Turley, goes into that. And I'll read a quote in the next segment about that.
Okay, and your point is perfect on the Maxine Waters, because it's so inconsistent. And yet there's an exclusion. It is tremendous power that they have, that they can do this. But it also is a reflection of the gullibility of people. You know, there should be, and both sides are guilty of it. If only the Democrats were getting gored, the Republicans would be rather
quiet. Yeah.
But Maxine Waters, she was over the top. She's always been over the top. And it's a very, very risky thing to say. But people like Maxine come across to me because I had personal experience and I listened to the private conversation. They're very racist. Can you believe that could be the case? Everything is race.
Everything is race.
It's just not, a misunderstanding or using the words incorrectly and you're politically incorrect and this sort of thing. She's very, very racist. And that's a hard way to find. I'm always so delighted, and you were much aware of this, when we would discover a progressive Democrat who was actually honest, a Dennis Kucinich,
Tulsi Gabbard.
I mean, these people actually have an honest bone in their bodies, and they keep talking about it. And it just is disgusting what Biden does now, is he says, I'm all for compromise. Other people, they want to do it. I want to compromise. But nobody will compromise. But that's the wrong word. Compromise is I'll do anything or say anything to agree. But when I visit with somebody like Dennis, we talk about, maybe, and we're going to be even talking about it today on foreign policy.
Yeah.
To foreign policy, because we agreed, both sides agreed that the foreign policy was bad, and there were. I think it's less bipartisan now on foreign policy, because so often when Biden gets hawkish, the Republicans are cheering him
on, exactly,
rather than critique him when they should.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's a good, I'm going to read part of this quote. It's a long quote, but I'm going to read part of it because this really encapsulates Turley's really well done argument on this. Let's put that up, that first clip, if we can, explaining the rule. Even Facebook's self-criticism of acting without a governing standard is self-contradictory. If your company banned someone permanently without having a basis or standard, why is a natural response to look for a standard as opposed to lifting the standardless ban? And he goes on to say, it is like a judge saying that I believe the police had a reason to arrest you, but I cannot see a reason for keeping you indefinitely in jail. So I'm going to keep you in jail while we try to figure out if there is ever a reason to keep you in jail.
Do you think that could apply to the Assange problems, too?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, just keep them there forever, keep because there. That's our goal, is to destroy people.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with justice. And this is just another reflection of how weird our system of justice is supposed to be and just isn't. And then you get involved with the FBI and all this, and it's searching for truth by a minority of people in this country. But thank goodness for people like Jonathan Turley.
Yeah. Well, you alluded to it earlier on, but Turley writes about this alliance between political figures and the social media companies,
yeah.
because the argument is often, even in libertarian circles, well, these are private companies, they can do whatever they want. Theoretically, that's true. But the close association is alarming. And Turley cites someone like Senator Richard Blumenthal, the Democrat from Connecticut. And Turley writes that he warned, because remember, they bring the big tech people, come testify, and they read them the Riot Act, warned big tech, quote, no backsliding from, quote, robust content modification. So how close to First Amendment violations is that, when the government takes a company and says, you better censor certain people or else, you know?
You know, the courts are useful in a libertarian society to sort out, the problems. But anything important, and there's more than one example, is the people in charge of getting more power and authority want immunity.
Yeah.
And did that happen on the social media? Absolutely. You know, they're not restrained from anything that they do. But what about the vaccine business?
Yeah.
What is the first thing they do? Because they want endless cash flow that we talked about yesterday. Cash flow forever. Well, yeah, we can go down and give these shots to six-month-year-old babies if we have to,
yeah.
as long as the cash flow can do. But there's no. But they have immunity.
Immunity.
And now, boy, I hope and pray that some of these statistics coming out right now have to be totally exaggerated. But the number of cases of people actually dying, and they think the reporting is very poor. But that's up for grabs because it'll be a while to sort it out. But, you know, all it takes is one family member to die from this, and it's a pretty serious matter. But you do find some people who are very strong about this, the fact that they have immunity. And Jonathan, you know, points this out, too, that this is part of the problem.
Here's an ending quote, and it's kind of a sad ending quote, but Jonathan Turley is exactly right. He says, quote, the Internet was once the greatest creation for free speech in history. It is now being converted into a managed space for corporate approved viewpoints.
Boy, there you go.
Very true. Very sad.
He'd agree with our stuff on corporatism.
Yeah.
<there.
laughs> Well, should we move on? Let's put on that next clip and segue into what's happening now in Afghanistan. A lot of fighting is going on, Dr. Paul. The U.S. is also airstriking against the Taliban, and fighting is intensifying. So I think you were looking at some of this stuff.
Yes, and my first reaction that I mentioned to you was, you know, who should be surprised? And is this a surprise attack? Is this Pearl Harbor attack on American interests over there? The government that we have supported and our bombs and our planes, all of a sudden they're firing back at us. Remember when I was chastised for saying that we nobody's ever committed aggression,
yeah.
you know. Against us, and they said the competition I had in the Congress, he speaks up, he said, what do you mean, Dr. Paul? And they've been shooting at our bombers and our fighter planes for years. So that's the stupidity of it all. But they warned us, and I thought it was so hypocritical about February or May 1st.
Yeah.
Because May 1st was the deadline. They were supposed to, and Trump's plan was to be out by there.
Yeah.
So what did they do? Biden had already turned it to 9/11. They're going to celebrate 9/11 this year by getting the troops out by 9/11. But who's going to believe him? So what does he do on May 1st? Oh, and he's a big thing there, showing 12 people. Well, we got 12 people. I'm being facetious, obviously.
Yeah.
We got some people out there. And they think they're going to distract, and that's going to satisfy the Taliban. It's their country. They've been doing this for 20 years,
yeah.
you know. And now this is a big issue, even though it's not a big issue in the sense of thousands of people have died and all this kind of, but it's a big issue because this is the closest they ever came under Trump to say, look, enough is enough. He had campaigned on this. He didn't do it exactly as we would have done it, but he at least was better than the rest, and he said we were getting out and that the plan was laid and then it was totally closed down. But that just is further proof to a guy like Biden, and most people even that are on the other side would say that he really isn't his own man. You know, yeah. He gets his orders. So the orders that have come down from the deep state is that we are not leaving there, you know. And what are the liberal television programs doing today and reporting? It was on again last night. Well, we cannot leave. You know, it's going to hurt the women. You know, they might not get to drive their cars, and they might not get to go to school and things like this. You know, that's important. But where does that source of liberty come from? It has to come from the people, you know. And that's why we ought to get out of their way and let them sort that out. But, yes, that's the announced purpose to make sure that the progressives, who are wimpish progressives that won't stick to their principles on foreign policy, say, well, they have a point there. Yeah. You know, this is a big deal for the women of Afghanistan to get to drive their car. It is a big deal for them, but liberty is a big deal too, and living up to our promises is a big deal, and that's where the fallacy really is, and the fault is on our side.
Well, you talk about Biden moved it back so we could celebrate the anniversary of 9/11 when the troops were out. I'll tell you who won't be celebrating, the family of those that are killed between now and 9/11 that didn't need to be killed.
Oh, that's for sure.
But, you know, the Taliban was very clear. They made a deal with Trump. We said we'd be out by May 1st. The Taliban said, okay, that's great. But if you are not out by then, we're going to consider it fair game. We're going to consider you broke the deal. They kept their half of the deal. They didn't kill a single American for a whole year leading up to that point. But the problem is, and this is true for Biden and Trump, they both are deal breakers. Biden broke the deal that Trump made on getting out of Afghanistan, and Trump broke the deal that Obama made on the Iran deal. So the thing is, what the rest of the world sees is that the U.S. is not an honest broker. The U.S. doesn't keep its agreements, doesn't keep its arrangements. And we're actually shocked when some group like the Taliban actually does. They say, hey, if you do this, we will do that. And they do that, and people are shocked. How dare they do that? You know, Americans are shocked. But what's been happening, and thanks to Moon of Alabama for doing a good job in reporting on this, is that the Taliban is now on the march. They took Baghlan, which is north of Kabul. It's one of the few exit points to get out of Afghanistan if we need to get out. It's a town of 150 residents. Significant in this is the surrender of 200, reported surrender of 200 police and troops, who they say some or all of them went over to the other side, to the Taliban side. And why this is significant is because we have spent untold billions of dollars and 20 years training the Afghan army. And when it comes to defending this town, they give up and they go to the other side. But my last point on this, Dr. Paul, is something that Moon of Alabama made, Bernard made on this, which is critically important. He said, correctly, the U.S. could have moved out of Afghanistan peacefully if Biden had stuck to the May 1st deadline. Now they're going to have to leave in the midst of people who actively want to murder them. And that's a huge difference, getting out peacefully as part of an arrangement or getting out under gunfire. And that's all on Biden.
See, I think the big issue, and if you don't deal with the big issues out of policy and understanding, is a much more difficult to get people to consistently do something because they're utilitarians, and what seems practical today might not be practical tomorrow. What one party does is practical for them and their friends, and then the next day it changes. That's why I think the definition of what the purpose of government should be be very precise, and each government, each country should decide, what do we want our government to do? And of course, the original intent, the best I can tell from our early history, the purpose of government was to protect our freedom, protecting our liberty. And it wasn't to tell people, you know, what they have to do for being safe and secure financially and also medically, and you follow all the rules and make sure that you never take any risks, and also to observe what's going on around the world. And if people want to support other countries, they do it voluntarily, but they don't draft people and steal money for people and get involved involved in a war, how can they argue this war was of any benefit to the United States of America? And has it really been a tremendous benefit to the minorities that seem to be abused in Afghanistan? Well, that never has seemed to be an argument in Afghanistan right now. But anyway, it's imperfect. But the whole thing is, it's not our business to think that we have the wisdom and the courage and the finances to make sure that every woman in Afghanistan has a driver's license and everyone gets to go to junior college, you know, and get a college degree.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is happening that they get no credit for whatsoever. But anyway, if people don't understand what the purpose of government is, then we get, all of a sudden we see people getting involved in mischief and trying to tell people, well, you know, you don't want to catch a cold, so we are going to force you to wear a mask forever, you know, this sort of thing. So it's very necessary for us to talk about, you know, the purpose of government and what liberty is all about and why the world is better off under those conditions. Things don't get worse, you know. People are more likely to be able to have a higher standard of living and more peace if they at least try to comprehend what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to improve our messy. No, we can't improve the messy. I believe in the messy. Maybe we should always work on improving the delivery of the message to get people excited about it. And right now, the message is necessary. It's more appropriate than ever because we're seeing the conclusion of a silly system of government.
Yeah.
Whether it's in Afghanistan, 20 years in Afghanistan, and you don't even know where the president stands, and he's getting his orders. So it's a shame. And you already pointed out it's not just the Democrats that messed this thing up.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to our last major topic of the day, and this goes into the science category, right? Quote unquote science. Let's put up that next clip. CDC director urges masks to prevent kids heavy breathing around a soccer ball. This is Walensky. She's the one who was 34 days ago terrified. She saw dark clouds on the horizon. She thought we were all going to be in a disaster, and in fact, we're not with the virus. But she has said yesterday that kids going to summer camp, young kids going to summer camp, and they're out there playing soccer, they've got to put those masks on because if they're trying to kick the ball away from each other, they might be breathing heavily because of science. But the fact is, if you stop and think about it for a second, that totally goes against what the CDC itself says. The masks are to prevent larger droplets, like if you cough or if you spit on someone. They don't prevent the breath because we know very well that the virus is smaller than the masks.
Yeah.
And most masks will prevent the virus from coming out. The virus is tiny and it'll come out. So the whole justification for we don't want you breathing heavily around other people is totally going against the CDC's own recommendations, which is it just keeps you from spitting on people. I'm about to do.
Keep the people fearful.
Yeah.
So that they participate and obey what the government tells them. And unfortunately, there's a lot more obeying of some of the most ridiculous things ever. You know, this whole thing about summertime, we have to be restricted in summertime. It's almost like, my God, if we don't do this, these kids are going to have fun.
Yeah, how dare they? Yeah.
You know, and it turned out that baseball game they played up in Dallas, I think, there were a lot of people showed up
yeah.
and had a lot of fun. But that seems to drive liberals nuts.
Yeah.
And you know, this is very, very scientific analysis that I'm going to make because I flip channels. I want to know what the enemy's saying. I want to know what the pseudo friends say. If you look at the people that we would put in the category of the greatest of all authoritarian, they are miserable people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to look at them, it's just pleasantries. I think there's a message there to some degree.
Yeah.
I think they're so miserable and frowning. Maxine Waters does not come across as somebody that enjoys life.
No, no.
She is, boy, I don't know.
Miserable person. Miserable.
Yeah,
unhappy.
There you go. But we basically are doing things right now that are based on the fact that breathing is dangerous. Breathing fresh air is
yeah,
dangerous.
Yeah.
So therefore, we have to put on these masks on. But it's all just for discipline. And it's really a sad story that we go along with this. But more people are challenging. Where was it that somebody challenged the reporter? You know, why are we doing this thing? Reporters ought to be challenged with that.
Yeah, no
but
way.
But this is always a reflection of the idiocy of what they've been taught in journalism classes, right and left.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, you know, if you took a run-of-the-mill, matter of fact, the situation has made it so that newspapers don't mean much anymore because they don't report news, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you had something from our local paper that you wanted to bring up, which is really interesting.
I still read the paper called The Facts in Lake Jackson, Texas. And when I moved to Lake Jackson in 1968, it was a pretty significant paper. It would carry national news and all this sort of thing. It's pretty small now. It's a couple pages, but it carries some local stuff, school stuff. It'll keep up with school news, and it's kept up a little bit with what the rules are about COVID and what the death rate is going to be. But they had to explain the other day, we can't report the death rate anymore because there's not enough information, not enough deaths.
Not enough deaths is what the problem for them is.
But this was here today, and my immediate reaction, very negative, because I guess they wouldn't see this, but I can just see.
Yeah, they can see
the picture there. It's a group of students from our local high school, and they're in a choir, and they're doing signing of hand signs for the notes that they are singing, but they're in a choir, and it's a good choir. I mean, they in the past have proven themselves, but they're singing with their masks on.
Oh, geez.
And I thought, what are they doing? I thought they were improving. We're getting rid of this stuff, but just look around and you'll find something a little bit of positive. So next to it, the article says BIST, that's our school district, to make masks optional. But not yet.
Yeah.
No, it's too soon. It'll have to wait until the school year ends. So they'll finally get rid of it. So slow and so tedious and so much harm done, and now they still want the move nationally with CDC and all. You know, we talked about this. Put the mask on the kids.
Yeah.
You know, and not only the mask, but the vaccine on the kids. Even if the vaccine, that one country, the vaccine showed it didn't even reduce the amount of infections.
Seychelles,
didn't reduce the number of infections.
So. Yeah, that's an interesting story. Yeah, Brazoria County and Lake Jackson are so depressing. You know, they are so awful on this stuff. The facts is awful. Our political leaders are awful on this. You know, the thing is, okay, big deal. You kids can take off your mask. The damage is done. These kids are psychologically scarred. You know, I do a lot of the shopping. I go to HEB, you know, and I see the kids. They're out of school. They're away from school. They are outside, and I see them walking with their masks on. These kids are psychologically scarred. The people who did the scarring should pay the price, should pay the penalty, should be prosecuted. Unfortunately, they won't. But I have a couple of little closing things, Dr. Paul, just kind of my chart stuff. Let's put on that next clip if we can. And this is interesting. This is Ian from South Carolina, really, really good on this, but he points out the 8 states with the highest recent case rates of COVID all still have statewide mask mandates. Look at this. Michigan, Minnesota, Colorado, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Rhode Island, Maine, and West Virginia. They are the highest per 100,000 of cases. What do they have in common? They all still have the mask mandates. So there's your masks for you. And let's look at the next one, please, too. This is my final word, my final chart. Mask mandates versus non-mask mandates in case rates. These are county, I think these are school districts in Florida. If you look at the red, these are where masks are required in classrooms and school buildings. The red is concentrated on the left that has the highest rates per 100,000. And if you look all the way to the right, those are where masks are not required while children are seated in the classroom, and they have, with very few exceptions, among the lowest case rates. So what does that tell you? It should be flipped if the masks are working. Maybe there's something else at play here, Dr. Paul. Maybe there's some voodoo going on, but when you look at the numbers, it just doesn't back up the science that they claim is the science.
Right, and I'm going to, we alluded to this, I think, a little bit, but I wanted to bring this Achilles Island over near India, and it finds out that some research has been done. It's probably the country that has the highest percentage of people that have their vaccination. But all of a sudden, there's a surge on happiness and freedom. No, a surge on COVID cases.
Huh.
And that's the word they use, surge on COVID cases. So it could be, it deserves some investigation. It could be testing is sort of screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, maybe somebody wants to keep the fear going, and maybe they flip their tests or something like that, because the tests can do, you can get the test to say whatever they want. So these are the individuals there, you know, and they have this highest rate of infection. But this assume that is correct. Well, what's going on here? Oh, it's a variant. It's a variant.
Yeah, they always say that.
It's a variant, so that's what we have to, they'll use this for more vaccines.
More money.
Another development of a vaccine. So all I can say is, people, be careful where you get your news, and challenge people. And I think that's one thing our viewers do, and I want to thank our viewers so much for tuning into our program and sending so many nice notes to us. And it is a program designed by the Principles of Liberty, and it means that the Principles of Liberty mean that people ought to have choices, and they ought to, it's pro-choice. You get to decide what you want to do with your life. It doesn't have anything to do with guaranteeing who's going to make the best choices. But logic has figured it out that people make mistakes. So that is the most important justification for not turning people loose in government, because everybody makes mistakes. But if you're in government, guess what? Who goes into government? The people who like to make choices for other people, and they're authoritarians, and they love to get your money, and they love to tax you, and they love to start wars. They're in there for all kinds of reasons. So that's the reason you don't want hardly anybody in Washington or any place telling us what to do. There should be minimum laws, and the laws are really designed to just let people live their own life. And if you look at the Constitution, most of the Constitution is telling us, the people, what the government shouldn't be doing. And the people should be making decisions. And if it's not directly the people or local government, other than, you know, big government, it shouldn't be the federal government, it shouldn't be the United Nations, it shouldn't be the IMF and all these other people, and nobody knows who's ruling. But the big deal is nobody can quite identify who's this deep state. Is that real, or is that just conspiracy talk? It's probably conspiracy. Yeah, but it's one of those conspiracies that might be true, you know. So, yes, there's been people conspiring out there, but it is a mess. There's not enough confidence and understanding about what liberty is all about. But believe me, there's a strong case can be made for, if you want a more peaceful, more prosperous world, you will go the way of looking for a free society, emphasizing personal liberty. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.